Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, February the 16th, 2016. I currently have 7:02 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. Item on the agenda tonight is to go into exec session to discuss real estate transaction. So if someone would like to make a motion on that, I will take it now.
Here, I've got a motion. I'll make a motion to go into closed session pursuant to State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205, which is to discuss the sale of real property.
Thank you. I have a motion. Is there a second?
I will amend that motion to say that we're in the community center.
And do you accept that?
I accept that.
All right. So the motion's been seconded, accepted with the amendment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It needs to be a roll call vote, man.
Mr. Yes. Zappala?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Motion was unanimous for those that are here. Mr. Crawley is not here. Mr. Geddes is not here. So we'll go into exec session. Discuss very briefly item number 8, which is an action item on ordinance amending Title I, Chapter 5, relating to non-flash still photography and video recording of public meetings. Speaking with Lieutenant Lydiard, I think we need to change some of the language on this ordinance. And on Section D, Item 1, if you look to the area where it's in red, this is the new language that's proposed. I'll read it. It says, to the side of the room or in such other locations as will allow such recording devices to remain in the same location and be located to ensure they do not disrupt or interfere with the meeting or anywhere else. Okay. Is that the place where I wanted to be? Hold on. And then continuing in the black, which is what the language used to say, at no time during the public meeting shall camera or video recorders be removed from the recording location unless permitted by the public body. Movement of cameras or other video recording devices from their original recording location without permission of the public body shall be cause for removal from the public meeting. Okay, that's problematic because my discussions with Lieutenant Lydiard is that anyone with a camera has a constitutional right to be wherever they want to be, and people that come to public meetings have no insurance of privacy. And so when they're at public meetings, they can be filmed and there's no guarantee of privacy. This area is problematic. This ordinance was probably...
Gary, I suspect the issue there is we're trying to prevent someone from becoming a distraction during the meeting interfering with the conduct of our business. And so I suspect we want to replace that language.
So that's a separate issue. There's already language that says if someone is a disturbance, they can be removed. So if someone is a disturbance, they can still be removed.
Yeah.
But I think the language about someone moving a camera needs to be completely stricken.
I would agree. If there's language elsewhere that provides for us to deal with disturbances, then that's fine.
So I would prefer that there's as little discussion about this as possible. And so if someone would like to amend this so that part is stricken from the new language, essentially we're saying anybody with a phone can be wherever they want as long as they're not causing a disturbance.
Well, it's not saying they can be where they want. It says they have to be in the back or the sides, but what we're removing is they can move it around.
Okay, I don't even think it matters if they're at the back or the sides because my understanding is that they have a constitutional right to put their camera wherever they want.
I guess my only concern with that is what if they're sitting right here in the front row and the people right behind them can't see anymore? They can't see what's going on because there's a camera right there in front of them.
Or if they're back behind us.
They're back behind us and looking at our computer screens. We can say they can't be in the aisles because there's cords there and it's hazardous. And we do say that they can't be in the aisles for that purpose.
So why not just say that list our specific concerns? They shouldn't block anyone else from being able to view the meeting. They should not be any aisles.
It does say it can't be in aisles.
And they should not be causing a disturbance.
Yeah.
Those seem like reasonable things to require. And by aisles, I would include, you know, this aisle here.
Yeah,
so in other words,
there ought to be enough space
so that if there was a fire or a disturbance and people had to exit the building, that they can exit safely. And so they shouldn't, the camera shouldn't be right up against the sides that would interfere with people being able to leave the building safely.
So somebody formulate for me what they want the language to sound like so the council can listen. And
with Sam here, I mean, I'm assuming we can say they can't be back here or they can't be in the aisle where the cords are.
I think you can say that for the security of the council, you wouldn't want anyone from the public being behind you, let alone anybody from Channel 2 or Fox 13. They're looking at your notes or whatever behind your back. That's just a security issue.
Right.
So for the safety of the council, I would say no one's allowed behind you at all.
Okay.
That's always been a concern for me, that all of you have your back to a window and it's dark outside. I can't see what's out there. And I realize I'm probably the only one paranoid to worry about those kind of things.
We're glad you are.
But it is a security issue. I think for the council to be open and inviting, I would just say, as long as they're, like you said, they don't have a tripod set up in front of someone they can't see, I would let them wander.
So how do you want to formulate the language then?
I think he's working on it, but that was my concern with
right
number
now.
Three, is just that it said that they couldn't move the whole time, and we can't enforce that because they're going to leave during the meeting or whatever the case is. We can't. That's not something we can enforce. So right now it does say they can be on the sides or in the back, but they can't be in the aisle, and we should add to it that they can't be back here. It doesn't even say that.
Okay. Well, if we say rear or sides, that prohibits the back.
Well, that's true.
So, are you going to say in the side or the rear, but anywhere they want in
yes.
that area?
So what I have right now is shall be located at the rear of the room or to the sides of the room. Camera placement shall ensure that no member of the public is blocked from viewing the meeting. And then we have the sentence already: no cameras, tripods, or crews may be permitted in any exit pathway or aisle. And cords may not be run across pathways, aisles, or exits unless permitted by the public body.
Is everybody happy with this? Because I don't want to come back to this ordinance ever again.
So on D1...
I wouldn't guarantee that.
On D1, we need to strike the sentence that starts with, at no time during the public meeting shall count.
Yeah, that's all gone. Yeah, so that whole paragraph I replaced with what I just read.
Okay.
You guys, are you being quiet down there. Any thoughts on the language here?
Sam does.
Sam, give us your thought.
Mayor, I've had a long conversation with the city attorney, the prosecutor, about what's a possibility to do. Their office will not prosecute anyone that is, we're going to say, is disrupting the meeting because they're the side or the back or the front.
Right.
They're not the ones that are being disruptive. It's the people that are saying, don't videotape me. Well, it's an open meeting.
Right.
And so I think it would be wise consider that it would never be prosecutable to prevent someone from being the side or the back. It's very wise for a public safety standpoint to say, don't block the aisle, don't drag your cords across the walking area, and by no means are you allowed to be anywhere behind the council.
How about if you form your language
doesn't
around
side and
the
back,
public safety issue?
It doesn't side and back if we're allowing side and back prevent front and side.
Where on the side.
You wouldn't say where on the side. Yeah, I didn't restrict them on where.
Okay.
But when you're even saying
Ben?
Side,
I'm good
with
that.
Like,
I'm good with it too.
Rob, you're good too?
Yep. Side and not be too close.
Daniel, Jenny, have you guys come up with some language that you're happy with that you want to share with the whole council?
I've already read it.
Do it again so everyone can hear.
All non-flash still cameras and video recorders shall be located at the rear of the room or to the sides of the room, period.
Okay. I'm good with that. These guys are good with it too. Daniel, I'd like you to take, if you wouldn't mind, about 9-10 minutes and get into zoning planning to knock a little bit that off our time later. Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, this is my least good copy. My least good copy. So what I've handed out to you is our... Yes, I do. Well, no, I don't anymore. What I've handed out to you is a draft. This is nowhere close to final yet. I just want the council to see where we're at in terms of our progress. This is our design guidelines. They went through a revision by the Planning Commission, and anything that is in red text is what the Planning Commission added. Anything that is stricken, in plain black text stricken, that is what the Planning Commission struck. Anything that is in yellow highlighting is text that Jenny or I have added or revised. That includes striking out or adding text in various locations. There is one place in blue that is highlighted that is something that Jenny added that I'm not sure I agree with, and it's one small thing that we can talk about. It's on page 12, but we'll walk you through the whole document. So I'll just start walking you through this in the 10 minutes that we have to kind of orient you. Then maybe we'll get into the details, the nitty-gritty during council meeting. The first change I made was on the very front title page, was I changed this from guidelines to requirements. So I think that reflects the fact that these are ordinances and they're not meant to be squishy. So that's the only change on the cover page. On page 4... in purpose and intent, I struck anything that talked about we're intended to guide you through the development and it's not intended to be rigid and so on. I just struck all that language because these are plain language ordinances and they're like any other ordinance. They're just requirements that are intended to implement the master plan. And so that change has been made in the purpose and intent. I struck the historic background because I did not think it was necessary for an ordinance to have a historic background. I've highlighted a place where we ought to include a map of the area, an updated map of the zones. On page 6, Jenny added some definitions explaining exactly what a senior assisted living facility is and what congregate care is. There's probably additional definitions that need to be added there.
Yeah, and the congregate care one needs to be changed. I took that from TCG, but I wanted to use the one that we had discussed in council meeting.
Yeah, and I have that. I have that, and I'll plop that in. There's a better description there.
Yes.
3.1, you'll see I've changed the term sub-district to district. We don't have any districts to have a sub-district of, and so I just named them properly districts within the zone and made that change throughout. I specified a definition of what we mean by intensity, since that was a source of discussion in our meetings recently. So I say that intensity is characterized by average daily automobile trips and building size, height, and density. The next big difference is in section 3.2, there is a section on permitted and conditional uses which has been entirely struck. The Planning Commission spent some time tweaking the wording and condensing the categories. You'll see on page 9 there is a list of uses, and they struck nearly everything and then added only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 categories that were intended to be broad categories, one of which was other uses not defined, basically meaning that pretty much anything could be built there, which I thought was a really bad idea. So we've stricken that, and you'll see starting on page 10, there is now a use table with both permitted and conditional uses, and we tried to be as liberal with assigning permitted uses where we could and put in conditional uses only where conditions needed to be imposed to mitigate impacts.
And that all came from our Friday meeting as a council.
Yeah, we spent a long time at our Friday retreat going over which things should be allowed and permitted versus conditional. So that table is there. There are still some things that could be changed to permitted, I believe, and I'll get into the details of that during our council meeting and why I think that. Then the rest of section 3.2, you'll see there's a whole lot of yellow text there. This is our initial attempt
This is all new.
Yeah, that's all new. This is our initial attempt at trying to be very specific, codifying conditions, rather than simply leaving it up broadly to the discretion of the Planning Commission or the Council to say, you know, we can impose whatever conditions we want to mitigate impacts. We're being very specific in listing them here. So under residential, for example, we say that all residential uses have to be on the second floor. That was something we discussed at our retreat. But then in the mixed-use area, we specify the rules we talked about at our retreat for when we might allow them to build entirely residential, only if it's on the southern half of that zone, of that district, and they're building both commercial and residential at the same time. So half the ground floors have to be commercial for that kind of a project. And we specify phases that they have to be building commercial and residential at the same time. And these come from our discussion with our last applicant, where these conditions were in our code, and we're just condensing them and putting them all in one place where these conditions already existed. They were a little bit harder to find in our previous code. We specified a minimum height of ground level commercial so that you couldn't say I have a 1 foot commercial floor. a lot of these we got from other cities' code. Parking lots being on the interior of the project as opposed to the exterior along the streets, CCNRs, and HOA failure, some of these things that we copied from what other cities do. And then we have conditions for congregate care, for what we mean by congregate care, which I have not reviewed at all. These are things that Jenny added over the weekend.
I took all that from our approval of
Rosegate,
and
right.
The conditions we placed upon them.
Good. Conditions for assisted living. Did those come from Pleasant Grove?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where they originated from?
It is. Some of it's from our current language, and some of it's from Pleasant Grove, yes.
Yeah. And then conditions for retail in the mixed-use area. We had said that there were certain conditions, certain types of buildings we would be okay with as long as they were a collection of smaller shops and stores, like our language discusses in our zoning. And so in this area, we're going to say that lots of things can be built, but they have to be smaller shops and stores. They should be 8,000 square feet to minimize the impact that they would have on residents. And we specify some things about mixed use there and what it means to be mixed use with pedestrian walkways and things like this. And then there's a section 3.2.x, which we haven't finished numbering yet, on conditions for all conditional uses, addressing things like noise and dust and odors and aesthetics and safety and traffic and so on. Some of that I just covered on pages 13 and 14 is duplicated in earlier language I have that discusses building setback in 4.3.1 and some of the other zones. I think it's also in 4.2 somewhere where I talked about setback. No, not there. And I think we need to consolidate our discussion of building setback all in one place, and we'll move it up there to a general requirement. We set the structure height in each of the zones to be what we had talked about at our retreat, 35 feet, getting rid of all the extra feet that you can add for various conditions, just simplifying our code. I think that walks you through everything. We've been busy.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
Are we meeting tomorrow night?
Thursday night. It's a good question.
We have a deadline of about 2 weeks. What I don't want to have happen is at the very last minute, the council be given a document and not have time to verbally discuss.
That's right. So my only consideration for Thursday is whether I would spend that time on my own, busily writing more code, or more time with the group, the subcommittee that's writing it, to hash things out.
I think it's good to meet with the subcommittee just because David Briggs,
too,
who's the chair of the Planning Commission's on it, and that way the Planning Commission isn't blindsided. They've got some feedback from at least their chair.
It's a good idea.
So I
one thing
as much time as a
absolutely
group as possible.
Sure. So let's meet.
Okay. Thank you.
The other thing related to that is I spoke with Mr. Shaw last time we met, And I asked him the question, since this document came to us from the Planning Commission, it's a recommendation that's already gone through their process, and they presented their recommendations for how to revise it to us. I asked him, can't we then revise it further, and that's the council's input, and not have to go back?
Yeah.
And he said yes.
Good.
So.
But that doesn't apply to the zoning ordinance. That has to go back to Planning Commission. Right?
You mean actually the stuff in city code that we would update?
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is identical in the sense that it's cut and paste.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, and you've got two things at play. Are you required to go back to planning and zoning if it's their recommendation that you are modifying? Probably not. Should you go back from a. Make them involved in the process perspective? That's your call. That's a political issue.
They didn't amend the zoning ordinance at all, just the design guidelines.
Right.
Yeah, so part of the problem is what they gave us changed the use table, and the use table is duplicated. It's in city code as well as in this document.
And so you need to update that as well.
And so one possibility is we simply strike it from city code and refer to this document until such later time when we're going to revise all that and put it all in one place.
Yeah, I'm never a fan of duplicating if you don't have to.
Me neither.
Because if you change it, then it often gets overlooked.
But even if we strike it, doesn't it have to go back to planning
commission? Yes. Okay. So we're going to need to get that ready as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys a break, so let's not take any questions right now. We will bring this back. We will come back right at 7 o'clock. Please be in our chairs ready to go. Thank you.